We, as an agency, get complaints throughout the federal government from employees throughout all federal agencies. And what we were seeing is an extraordinary number of complaints coming from FAA employees. Usually we close out about 25 or 30 cases a year, and we had 7 FAA cases ready to go to the President and to Congress within a very short period of time, plus 2 more being investigated by the DOT that we have referred to them, plus 3 more being investigated by our agency or being reviewed by our agency to determine whether they should be referred. So there were just an extraordinary number of cases from FAA that raised a red flag for us.
And what do you hear, if anything, so far from the FAA itself?
In response to these specific complaints?
Yeah. In other words, did you call them up and say, hey, guys, answer these people?
Well, by statute, they're required to investigate once we refer a case, once it meets our very high standard of showing a substantial likelihood that the complaint has merit. We refer it to the agency for investigation, because our agency, the Office of Special Counsel, doesn't have independent investigative authority. So we refer it back to DOT. They're required by statute to investigate. And here they did find in 6 out of 7 cases that they all had merit. And then we review their reports and report then to the President and to Congress.
And just to be clear here, we're not talking about retaliation so much as simply the agency's failure to take up the question raised by the whistleblowers.
That's right. Our disclosure unit is the unit that handles just disclosures of health, safety, violations, waste, fraud, and abuse. And the procedures for that are really different than claims of retaliation, although one of the whistleblowers here did make a complaint about retaliation, and that's being handled completely separately. That's still pending, though we're very hopeful that it will be resolved soon.
We're speaking with Special Counsel Carolyn Lerner. Now, the DOT, you were just saying, found that 6 out of 7 cases had merit, which leads me to think that they, in fact, did investigate. But you, by your letter, I'm assuming that it wasn't to your satisfaction.
Well, the problem is that these whistleblowers had to keep coming back to us repeatedly. They had initially gone to the FAA, one as early as 2005, to report these safety problems. So these have been going on a long time. 4 of the 7 whistleblowers had to come back to our agency twice, because even though the Department of Transportation had found their claims to be credible, they didn't take appropriate remedial action. And so what we're seeing is often they'll agree that there is a problem, but will delay doing anything about it. And that needs to, you know, be a problem that's addressed.
And give us a nature, give us an idea of the nature of these, of the whistleblower complaints, because it is the FAA, which has a huge public safety mission.
Right. Well, they really have a range of concerns, everything from the most basic of air traffic controllers who were sleeping in the control room, who were leaving their shifts early, using personal electronic devices while on the job, and not communicating correctly with pilots. There was one case of a near miss outside of New York where an air traffic controller wasn't using appropriate language. He was using dangerously imprecise language, and that almost did cause a near miss. So that's the type of thing that we're talking about. There are other things like unsafe helicopters, emergency service helicopters, where the pilots had difficulty reading instruments because they weren't outfitted correctly with night vision goggles. There was a problem with faulty wind instruments being relied upon in Detroit, inconsistent rules for runways in Detroit, unauthorized aircraft being found in U.S. airspace near San Juan, Puerto Rico, maintenance issues. One airline was supposed to have an inspection and maintenance program, but it wasn't in compliance with some technical airworthiness directives. So it really runs the gamut.
I'd feel a lot better if it was financial impropriety, to be honest with you.
I have to ask you also, as you detail this list, are you yourself afraid to fly, and should we be afraid to fly?
No, I mean, to be very clear, we are not saying that the U.S. aviation system is unsafe. It's unquestionable, unquestionably it has a very long and impressive safety record. But the FAA's failure to take its own employees' safety concerns seriously and respond promptly is certainly a flaw in its otherwise, really stellar credentials.
Now, the FAA has a system for looking into these types of incidents. They have non-punitive debriefing types of sessions. There's a formal process for that. Could it be that maybe that's the way they chose to look into these things rather than another mechanism that looks more like a whistleblower response?
It's certainly possible that that was the process they chose, but what we were seeing is that the whistleblowers, the people on the ground who were aware of the problems, had to keep coming back to us and had, as I mentioned, they went first to the FAA to share their concerns. When there wasn't a response, they came to our agency, and then four of the seven had to come back to our agency a second time because although the FAA and DOT found problems, they weren't taking the appropriate corrective measures.
So with regard to these particular whistleblowers that you've detailed in this report, what happens now? What are the next steps in their complaints and their cases?
Well, we have finished our role, and right now it's with the Department of Transportation. So we sent our letter detailing all these problems to the Department of Transportation, to the Secretary, as well as to the President and to Congress. And that's the statutory process. That's what's required under the rules that govern these types of disclosures. So our role is pretty much over, other than we will be monitoring a few of these cases and have asked for updates from the Department of Transportation on several of these matters. But in terms of reform, if there's going to be more or better oversight, that's really up to Congress and the President, and we've recommended that they consider that.